Brighton Festival 2018.
Now, never let it be said that Brighton Festival 2018 isn't reaching out to all ages of audience. This weekend sees a show targeted at the under ones. Yes, none walking babies. So if you have a little one gurgling alongside you right now, slurping on a dummy, then this show truly is for you. Sniggle and Friends is an invitation to join an inquisitive snail and friends in a cosy home under a leaf canopy as they dance, sing and play music. I got onto Skype to find out more about the piece.
I am Caroline Brodich and I am one of the co-creators of Sniggle and Friends. So I made this piece last year with Laura Hook, who has done the design for the show, and I also play Sniggle.
This isn't Sniggle's first outing, is it? What's Sniggle's history?
Sniggle has a kind of partner piece, which is called The Adventures of Sniggle, which is also co-created with Laura Hook. Adventures is about my motorised chair becoming my giant snail shell, and it was a piece that we made for festivals. So it's a promenade piece, and it's aimed at kind of 3 to 8-year-olds. But Sniggle and Friends is for our very youngest audience, so it's aimed at under ones, and we have been performing this piece since May last year, and we took it to the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh.
I spoke to someone who heard a piece called Apples earlier in the festival, but that was aimed at children over the age of 18 months, so already quite small. And then I was thinking, how does that work with keeping their attention? So how does it work with the babies? I mean, sort of 3 months, 4, 5 months old?
So they're actually really amazing. And someone said to me the other day who has children, it's a bit like a live version of CBeebies. And I was like, okay. But kids stay really engaged with it. It's amazing. And it's a really interactive piece. So everything happens at baby level. All the performers perform at a low level. No performers ever stand up, primarily because I can't, so I just made it a rule for everybody. But also it becomes a not scary thing for babies because there's no grown-ups kind of towering over them at any point. It involves various things coming towards them, so things like bubbles and scarves, and it has live music. It's kind of constantly moving but in a very gentle way, and it happens in this incredible environment that Laura's created, which makes us feel like we're in the undergrowth and we've shrunk really little.
And so is it quite a sensory experience?
So it's really colourful. It never gets dark, so there's always lights on in various forms around them. So it's really tactile, and I make sound the whole time. So this is the other important thing, is that I make sound the whole time, but I never speak English. So I'm constantly speaking Sniggle, which is very much like a baby language is before they acquire language. So they're not having to work to understand text, as it were. And it's also very responsive to the audience. So if babies make sound, we make sound back to them, which they seem to enjoy.
So how do you say hello in Sniggle?
So it just, that happens the whole time.
Well, that's put a big grin to my face, so I can imagine it does. Similar to small people.
Every performance is a relaxed performance, so there is no sense of kids can't make noise and parents, everybody sits. So all the audience are invited to sit on mats and cushions on the floor, so they're all comfortable as well. People are completely encouraged to have that as their space, so if they need to feed, to change their babies or to do whatever they need to be comfortable in the space, it's all allowed.
So basically you don't have to have your child high on Calpol before you come along, is what
you're
saying?
Definitely not, definitely not.
Now, the show itself is a good bite size for the age group. It was about 25 minutes or so, is it, with playtime?
Yeah, it's about half an hour of performance and then about, 10 minutes of playtime where they get to come onto the set and play with us. That generally involves quite a lot of climbing on us, and I have quite a lot of babies that love to suck my nose, which is quite fun. And often parents are really reluctant to leave the space just because it's comfortable and welcoming, and they've had a nice time.
Caroline is also a consultant on accessibility and inclusivity, and I asked her earlier how she and Sniggle's co-creator Laura Hook went about addressing inclusivity in their work.
Laura and I had done a year of research because we wanted to make this work. So we went to see lots of other work aimed at a young audience and came to the realization very quickly that very little, if any of it, included any diversity in the body. So it was always standing up, non-disabled, primarily white bodies that were presenting work. And I just thought, I need to do something about that. That's not acceptable.
It's not the world, is it? It's not representative.
It's not the world. No, it's not the world. So we needed to do something about that. So I did a whole project, a year-long project with Imaginate called Weren't You Expecting Me, where I looked at some of the reasons why that might be happening. Why is it that disabled performers don't go into work or into making work for children? And also made a really interesting realization that when I perform for adult audiences, I often at the end of it kind of get these responses from audience members sort of saying, "You're so amazing, that was just really inspiring." And when I make work for children and babies, I don't get that from parents. I just get their fascination with how engaged their children have been. So it's almost like it's not glossing over, but it's just their interest is in themselves and their babies rather than they're processing it in a different way, which I really love.
But I kind of feel that to a certain extent we are trained to be freaked out by things, be that people of different colour, different sexuality, different ability, different, just looking different. And very small children don't have that inbuilt.
No, they don't at all. And that was the other thing I became really interested in, is when does that prejudice start? Like when does that freakiness begin for kids? Because actually most kids I interact with are just fascinated. They have a question and then I answer their question and then we go on to the next thing. So if their question is, why are you so little? And I give them a response and then they're like, do you know my dad snores? Or I've got new shoes on or whatever. And we're on to the next thing. We're not hanging in there with that. We've just, I've got a question, I'm going to ask it. And so we move on. And yeah, I just think as adults, we don't do that.
Well, maybe we're also worried to ask questions as adults, because it's a sense of like, ooh, I don't know if I should mention that, or if I should offer to help, or if I should say, oh, I've never met someone of that religion before, and do you eat this? Yep. You know, and people are just don't want to offend, and in doing so, maybe a little bit too standoffish or look freaked out.
Yeah, I think there is this thing that always interests me about when you add a visible difference, because we know that 94% of the disabled population has some form of invisible disability. So we are living amongst disabled people all the time. We just can't see it. But when we have a visible difference, then that becomes a thing about all of a sudden we just kind of go, oh, I don't know what to do about that. But we expect ourselves to know, which I also think is tricky. But I have a theory when I do disability equality training with people, I always say, think about the question. Is it a want to know or a need to know question? So your brilliant example about, I've never met anyone of that religion before, can you eat this? If you're the caterer or a function manager or organising a conference or whatever, you need to know people's dietary requirements. Or if you're having mates over for dinner, you need to know their dietary requirements. But if you're just a punter in the street, you don't need to know that information.
Yeah.
So if you're a tailor, for me, and I'm so short, if you're a tailor or you're a doctor or whatever, the information that you need from me is very different to just someone who might be curious in the street. So it's tricky. It's really tricky. But I also think in that trickiness, we get stuck in this place. We just can't even have a conversation, which is also dodgy.
So starting with children and starting with that, opening their minds to it, is the way of making a difference. One audience, one show at a time, is it?
I think so. And I think because I think the thing that we need to do is we need to normalise disability. The reason that we're uncomfortable with it is because it's not familiar to us. And so the more we can widen our social circles to include all sorts of people, the more comfortable we'll become with each other, then we'll realise what a big thing it's not, actually, and that we're all just human and we're all different from each other and we've all got our quirks. just need to get more familiar with it.
Yeah, and we have had there a serious discussion about attitudes to disability, mm-hmm. but actually Sniggle and Friends is a giggle, if potentially. So can you say goodbye to me in Sniggle, please? Caroline Bowditch and Sniggles, thank you very much for talking to me.
I took Sniggle. Honestly, I love speaking to Caroline. That was Caroline Bowditch. Yeah, the performance and the performer and choreographer, one of the performers, in fact, and choreographer of Sniggle and Friends, talking to me on Skype earlier. Bye-bye. Yeah, it was fantastic. Sniggle and Friends, which looks just great for those of you with a babe in arms, will be, and they'll be entertaining the under ones at the Dome Founders Room this Friday through Sunday and challenging our preconceptions of what performers should look like as well. Performances 11 a.m, 1 p.m. and 3:15 p.m. Do check the Brighton Festival website for more details on that and for tickets.
The Brighton Festival 2018. Radio Reverb, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.